You're listening to DraftKings Network.
On April 26th, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. Only in theaters April 26th. Rated R.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Beckley, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
The streak ending? Is your opening day streak ending today?
I don't know.
What does "oh, I don't know" mean?
I was wondering the same thing. I didn't want to follow
like up. A game time decision.
The game is in like 6 hours.
Game time decision. We'll see. Look into this protocol, see exactly what safety we have in line.
See what's what?
See what's what?
Are tickets available?
Ah.
There's always ways.
Normally 5,000 is a tough attendance. Obviously not opening day, but in general, 5,000 is a tough number for Marlins to hit. I wonder if, since that's all that's available.
Oh, shut up. What a stupid thing to say.
What?
5,000 is tough for the Marlins to get on a day. That's ridiculous.
On a Tuesday?
You're just trying to do that thing. You're being ridiculous.
We can look up the numbers. I mean, there's been times like during the week. You think they average more than 5,000?
Yes.
Let me see.
An opening day?
No, I didn't say. I specifically said besides opening day.
For a day game. I think they do, actually.
Lowest number I'm seeing in 2019 was...
a 10,000
home Monday against Cincinnati. They drew 5,297 people. That's the lowest. And of course, this is announced, although they've obviously taken a more
honest policy. Must have been a hurricane or something.
Cortez, they don't doctor the numbers anymore. Like, they stopped doctoring the numbers when they moved out.
Yeah, I mean, if you were to doctor the numbers, you wouldn't announce 5,297. You'd announce 10,041.
I've just been to some games there where it's like, there doesn't feel like there's a lot of people here. I don't care what the number says.
All right. I mean, we can't argue with that.
Billy, what's your point? The Marlins draw well. Like, what are we?
I can't argue with how you feel. So
Did I offend you?
No, I think.
Yeah, yes, you did, actually.
That lazy.
Yeah, I think it's you're going for the easy joke of, oh, reduced capacity, 9,700, or a sellout crowd for the Marlins. Like,
what I was asking was, do you think that since they're only allowing 5,000 per game now, like that's a sellout, like is it going to be a sellout every game? Is what I was saying.
No, I mean, the Heat can't sell out the games. They're sending out things day of saying, hey, please come, essentially. Like, no one's going to these things right now.
Panthers, too. Looks pretty empty in there.
Do you think they'll, like, open, like, they'll have it be, like, an outdoor event for the Marlins? Like, they'll open the windows and the roof because...
I've been wondering that. Like, in terms of, like, safety, will they play with the roof and window open?
I still don't want to go to an indoor sporting event because I get the shakes from it, but...
I got sniffed by a COVID dog.
How was that?
Thrilling.
Did you believe it?
It wasn't any different than being sniffed by a normal dog, other than there's an intimidation factor, not just because you're all in a queue, socially distance, and a uniformed officer is walking with a trained police dog. So you're always kind of worried, like, what exactly is this dog trained to smell, right? And... thankfully, dog came by, moved on. A friend of mine that had actually been fully inoculated by the vaccine was ahead of me. Dog hovered. And it's kind of like, what has this guy got going on? It's kind of vulnerable.
I don't like dogs that sniff people for things.
I'm
never someone that has anything on them. No, I love dogs, but I don't... I'm a little suspicious of dogs that try to sniff you for things because I never have the things on me that dogs are sniffing for, but always have the fear that somehow something was planted on me or somehow
a misunderstanding, misunderstanding
yeah.
of some
yeah
sort.
Like what if I get, and no offense to dogs out there for any dogs that are listening, what if I get a dumb dog, you know what I mean, like a dog that's trained to do this but that's a little bit dumb, or like his like sniffing abilities are not up to snuff, you know what I mean, or up to sniff in this case, like what would happen here with this dog, for example?
It's
like,
so good, Billy, it's such a good point by you.
Do I get strip searched or something? What happens,
Billy,
here?
This is a totally, of all the unreasonable fears in your head, this is a reasonable one for you to wonder, what if I get the guy on the doggy police force that is the most incompetent of the guys, the guy who's always gotten passed over, he's just a career not carer, but the union keeps him employed and he's got like 50 grievances against him and he's just terrible at his job. And that day he got pissed off at home about something and he's decided, exactly. You know what, Billy, I'm going to plant cocaine on you.
He's only human. You know what I mean about this dog? Like sometimes dogs have rough days, no pun intended, and they'll come and they may take it out on people. You know what I mean? Like it's just, it's something that could potentially happen that I'm concerned about.
There is plausible deniability when it comes to a dog, because how do you know a dog is losing its stuff, right? Mm. It's not like a dog is going to go Vontae Davis at halftime. How do you know if a dog is just not hitting the speedometer the way that he used to?
What if he's a prankster or she? What if it's a prankster dog, you know, that comes after and is like, you know what? Let's have some fun today. We do this line every single day. Not much action. I want some action. Let's see how this person reacts to me sitting or barking or whatever it is. Also, like, I don't want to brag. I have a very lickable hand. You know what I mean? So like dogs come up to me sometimes and they'll just lick my hand. And it's like, I didn't ask for this, but at the same time, I don't want the wrong dog to be like, hey, be my friend, and then have someone misinterpret that.
Guillermo, put it on the poll, please. Is I have a very lickable hand bragging at Levitard Show, please. And if you're just wondering, and I think many of you, if you're astute, if you've been listening to this show for a long time, you know what just happened at the start of this segment. And what just happened at the start of this segment, Chris, do you know the answer to this, Cody? You have you've had a rough week this week. You've done your job very poorly. You have been a bit like the dog that Billy fears at the airport that will have, and your dad was even worse. But do you have any theories on what we just experienced right now?
I don't. I feel a little worse about myself after you said I had a bad week.
Yeah, I thought you were fine. You weren't any worse than you are usually. Defensive Marlins fan popped up.
No, it's just opening day. Billy's here. Billy's here. Billy wants to talk. He wants to get in the game. He's emotional. He's fired up. This is a national holiday for Billy, no matter pandemic and everything else. See, look, he's clapping his hand. Right, baseball.
I did fantasy baseball again this year, Dan. I said I wouldn't, but here
see,
I am.
Look
I'm
at him.
Back.
How did they not see, Billy? How did they not see that? That's right. Billy is ready. Billy, is this going to be the most normal day in the pandemic? Is this going to feel like,
no.
Okay. No, no, okay.
I mean, Dan, it's going to be weird. We're going to watch these games and there's going to be, a smattering of people there. And who knows what's going on if there's dogs outside of these games licking people's hands and whatnot. It's, I guess a somewhat return to normalcy. Look, yesterday there was a press conference in Miami with people in attendance. So we're on the way back, right? I guess we're on the way back to normal. Are we on the way back to normal?
Come hell or high water.
Mike Ryan, get the sound for me, please, because I want to do a little bit of nostalgic stuff today as Jim Rome reached out to you last night and knighted you, and as we do some cool Hollywood things here with projects involving, I just can't believe it, Adam McKay and Brockmeyer and Mike Schur. Like, we are headed toward doing some cool things, and we can't believe that we've gotten to some of the places that we've gotten to. But I'm arguing that Billy going to opening day and the very first pitch of a season, producing the moment that we remember, that I believe to be in the nomination, Mike, for most amazing thing to ever happen live on our radio show. In the history, in 20 years of doing this, the idea that we would reach out to Billy and have him, first of all, that we would have the idea to just send him out and do sort of play-by-play, and that it would come with years and years of bitterness when we're going out there sending our biggest Marlins fan out for the new Jeter regime to start of hope and promise, and he's trudging out there, and the very first pitch of the Marlins season ends up live on the air going like this.
Jose Urrea's standing at the back of the mound. He reaches down. He's rubbing some dirt and rosin on his hand, and here we go. All right. And the windup and the pitch. Oh, God, a home run on the first pitch of the game.
Welcome, Derek Jeter, and that concludes our Marlins coverage for the season.
You're loud.
Billy, I need to apologize to you publicly again about this. I am so sorry that I swallowed you that way. Every time, I don't think there's a clip in the history of this show that makes me wince more than that one. The way that I came in here and just knocked you out of the way on your big moment makes me feel great shame. And I think I ruined the moment by doing that to you. What would have otherwise been a great moment, you got swallowed. Do you even know what you were yelling in the background? I couldn't hear a word you said.
I think I said go Marlins at one point, which honestly, as a broadcaster, not something I should have done. I shouldn't have, while calling a game, been rooting for one team over the other. I should have focused on the moment. By the way, I was in right field down the line, close to like the home run pole, which is how I was able to like estimate this is going to be a home run, because I saw how high it was and how it wasn't coming down. I called it a little before it landed, I'm not gonna lie to you guys, but I can't believe that my phone picked up the sound of the bat hitting the ball from as far away as
This is the thing that was so great about this, Billy, the thing that was comedically perfect about it, and what I'm asking the audience and the Shipping Container to consider right now, is give me the greatest live moments in 20 years of doing this, because what I found funniest about everything that happened there is how far you were from where that pitch was being thrown and how clear that sound signaled to anyone listening who didn't have video. Billy, who didn't have video, anyone listening can hear that, and you're saying
crushed.
Yes, but Billy, you're saying, and correctly, I called it a couple of seconds early, and you should feel proud of that. But everyone who heard it called it the moment it hit, because we knew how far away you were, and the sound of that bat is comedically perfect.
Jose Urrea standing at the back of the mound. He reaches down. He's rubbing some dirt and rosin on his hand. And here we go. All right. And the windup and the pitch. Oh, God, a home run on the first pitch of the game.
It's unbelievable how loud that is.
Talking about you or the bat.
Two Gats here for my friends over at Simply Safe. Springtime is all about fresh air, fresh starts, and freshly cleaned homes, and it's the perfect time to give a fresh look at Simply Safe Home Security, the only home security system I use and recommend. I've had it in my home for many, many years. I love it. Springtime, to me, we love to travel, and I love the fact that no matter where I am in the world, I can keep an eye on my home thanks to Simply Safe Home Security. Simply Safe blankets your whole home in protection. It has sensors to detect break-ins, fires, floods, and more, plus a variety of indoor and outdoor cameras to keep watch over your property day and night. It's backed by 24/7 professional monitoring for less than $1 a day. Simply Safe has given me and many of my listeners real peace of mind. I want you to have it too. Get 20% off your system today when you sign up for Fast Protect Monitoring at simplysafe.com/DLB. That's simplysafe.com/DLB. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
Dan, what's on your metal stand for amazing things that happened while we were producing audio content? Because the heavens opened up and smiled on us that day. But I have a metal stand, and I'm wondering if it matches with yours.
Okay, well, one of the things that I think about, because I remember the specifics of the fear, but it feels a little bit like recency bias. It's when Mina Kimes was rising up at the company and was basically willing to do anything and was just showed a great deal of range when it came to doing the smart stuff very well and doing the dumb stuff very well. More range probably than anyone has ever shown between those two things around here. And because she was young and raw and game for anything, and because she loved that a more fuller personality can be revealed around here, she did that zip line, terrified, genuinely terrified of that zip line during the Super Bowl while giving analysis. And we went, Billy, do you remember? I was scared because it was taking her so long. And we had these rigid clocks at ESPN, and we were like 10 minutes past trying to get to finally the punchline on the joke because we needed to drag it out. And I was just desperate to get to the funny, and we finally got it at the end.
I remember thinking we're not going to get this on the air before the show ends because it was one of the last things that we did that day. And I think the last things in Super Bowl week. And my second favorite part about it, besides just Mina's terror and the fact that she cursed and the fact that she was very screaming scared, is that it also made everyone else forget that earlier in that show, we tried to have Mina and an assortment of other people do an escape room live on the air, which failed miserably.
It was such a bad bit. Okay, so explain this to me, Billy, because I want to understand what that day was like for you. Why are you laughing? Are you laughing? What are you laughing about? How terrible that the escape room without video is one of the worst ideas that's ever been that's ever been had around here.
Well, the thing is, we didn't have anyone at the Mall of America, which is where this was, I don't think. Actually, you know what? I think Allison may have been there, but she was getting guests for other shows. So we're trying to figure out what can we have friends of the show do, because we didn't have a presence at the Super Bowl. That was before Atlanta when I had gone up there, and before this year, or this, I guess, 2 years ago now in Miami, because this year we didn't send anyone to Tampa. But we wanted to have kind of a presence at Radio Row. So we knew a lot of people there, and there was lots of things to do in the mall. There was roller coasters. There was all kinds of things, right? But everyone was doing the zany thing. So what can we have people do? So we said, oh, you know what we can do? We can, there's this escape room. We can check in live for an hour and see how they're doing on this escape room. Except they basically just have to like read us clues and then be like, I'm looking at a bookshelf now and feeling around to see if I can find a hidden key or something. And we just bailed on that very quickly. Yeah, well, and I was because, like, this is not going to go well.
It sounds like an idea had by someone who has never produced a radio show and is unfamiliar with the idea.
You know, theater of the mind, Dan. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to take shots at anyone, but maybe if we had the right personalities there, they could paint the picture as to what's going on. Tell us they were mining for gold in a shaft, not just read a clue and then say, I'm looking around. But I'm not here to tell anyone how to do that.
I'm with Billy on this one. The talent on hand could have done this better. However, Stanzik. I think we had Stanzik doing it. So it's not like we had like someone very famous. It's not like Ryan Reynolds was trying to escape from a room. It was Dan Stanzik.
I think it was Mina Stanzik, Bill Barnwell, and I'm trying to remember the fourth person that was.
How could that fail?
Yes, I don't understand how we didn't ride that into the sky and just change the way media was done.
Hey.
Barnwell, what'd you expect? I mean, geez.
That's right. It was a very bad idea. Stugatz has just gotten here. He is now fully vaccinated. He is joining us. He is joining us from his home. He sounds a little busted up. And as you join us, Stugatz, we were talking about the greatest moments to ever happen live on air. We were doing some nostalgic stuff on a slow sports day, and we arrived at this Mina Kimes moment where she was asked to give us Super Bowl analysis. The question was, what is the single most important thing that the so-and-so have to do to beat the so-and-sos in the Super Bowl? And Mina Kimes gets on a zip line. She is terrified. She is wheezing. She has climbed up. It 9 minutes late. She couldn't get up there. She was scared. It was delayed a million times.
And behind the radio curtain, unbeknownst to the public listening, is we need this thing to pay off exactly when it does. Otherwise, we miss our network clocks.
We are headed toward the end of the show, and we need the joke to work, and it's just taking forever for her to get up the stairs, and she's afraid. The tension is building. If you started down this journey, you're with us, right? You're with us in it, and you're afraid. Are they going to actually be able to get to the punchline?
We would have executed it far more quickly. However, this was the start of AirPods, and the audio just wasn't great for the payoff. So I believe we had to tape the cell phone to Mina Kimes' chest as she did this zip line.
Okay, and she is legitimately terrified and also legitimately interested in making sure that you understand what her analysis is.
She's still with us?
So get to Brady with four is what it sounded like.
Dead on analysis, by the way. Maintained through the fourth quarter. And as you know how that Super Bowl went, they didn't listen to Mina Kimes.
Stugatz, would you nominate, I don't know, Mike, if on your list is when we fooled Stugatz with Cassidy Hubbard and Tony Collins. I remember that one being a live on air moment just because it's as enraged as we have ever seen Stugatz about anything. He has, right? There have only been two times where Stugatz is legitimately enraged. One time when he threw the headphones down to hang up on Ken Arnold inexplicably in the first.
I was enraged about that. I was enraged about what Mike is about to play. I don't know if I was enraged, but certainly I still feel the shame of asking Ludacris how much his watch is worth. So those are the three that bring me the most amount of shame from the 20 years of doing this show together.
All right, so we're going to do this nostalgically, just so you know. Yes, it's Matt. Yes, what are you raising your finger about? Yes?
I left out the first question for Chuck Norris.
Yes, that was a memorable one as well. So
I'm carrying that around, yeah.
Okay, so but let's play here real quick. Stugatz, this is Bristol campus. Is this the first time we're going as a show to the Bristol campus? It is, right? It's the first time we're there. As a group, because Stugatz had been there before. He'd been there weeks earlier, and he had done First Take with which one of the two women had you done First Take with, Cassidy or with Tony Collins?
I did it with Cassidy, I think. This was my second trip up in like a month, and so I felt like, you know, I'm the cagey vet. I'd been up there already. You two had never been there, and I was going to show you guys around and introduce you to everybody, you know?
And so he was super chummy, extra chummy. And so he's giving finger guns, sausage finger guns to everybody. He's running the campus because, of course, he's Stugatz. He's the king. And he runs across Tony Collins, who is just unrelentingly kind and sweet. And she comes up and says hello. And Stugatz thinks she's Cassidy Hubbard. Totally different ethnically, totally different. Don't particularly look alike.
Stugatz is corrected. After a very uncomfortable 15 seconds, Stugatz is corrected on site. No, that's actually Tony Collins, Stugatz. And then you and I caucus in the back of this cafe and say, I bet you we can get him again.
Yes, that is right. And I bet you that Stugatz will have learned nothing from between how the ethnicities look different between Hispanics. And Stugatz is just, that's Cassidy.
Believe Cassidy's Hispanic.
That's not. No, I know. Tony is, though. Like how people look different. I don't think that Stugatz understood that Tony Collins was Hispanic. Otherwise, it becomes a difficult mistake to make.
I could see how Stugatz makes that mistake just based off the name.
Okay, so here we go. Here is Stugatz getting furious because we have sent into the room Tony Collins, but he still thinks it's Cassidy Hubbard. And this is where Stugatz gets. What are you laughing about,
Mike? Again, he was corrected earlier in the day after making this mistake earlier that person is not Cassidy, that it's Tony Collins. You would think this would scar a person. Had that happened to me, I would know every detail about Tony Collins's life. But we fast forward just a couple of hours.
So now Cassidy Hubbard is scampering in here, and Stugatz, what do you have to say to her?
Well, I mean, I apologize. I think the flattering thing for Cassidy is even though she wasn't there and even though it wasn't her, I was thinking of Cassidy. I mean, that should be flattering.
Well, you want to apologize? She's right here. Thank you. Thank you. You want to apologize to her face?
I apologize, Cassidy. I really do. I should be apologizing to Tony as well. Hopefully we'll get her.
Do you like Tony, or is she nice, at least?
Tony's very nice. She's from Miami. She went out of her way the last time she was here to find me.
She is a sweetheart. I really like her, though.
Right. She went out of her way to find me because she's from Miami. She likes our show. She wanted to meet me. That was like a month ago, and you and I did First Take, I don't know, like 6 months ago.
But I left a good impression on you, though, then.
You left a great impression on me. I am really embarrassed right now. I don't embarrass easily.
Well, you're about to be more embarrassed.
Oh, no.
A little bit more.
Oh, no.
Because
Stugatz, that's Tony!
That's
not Cassidy! That is Tony! Cassidy does not look like her. It's the same girl you saw
have
this
brown
morning
hair and
that you introduced.
I'm flattered.
Tony, are you telling me I hate all
I'm
of
Tony.
You? I hate all of you.
He even offered advice to me 2 weeks ago if you need
Tony,
help with
Tony,
anything.
Tony! Stop it right now.
No, don't get mad at her.
Tony, stop it right now.
Don't
Tony,
get mad at her.
I love you.
No,
I
you
apologize.
Don't
I
love
feel
Cassidy.
Terrible.
You love Cassidy.
This is such a bad trick that you played on me, Levitard. How dare you do this to me?
It was my client's idea. How can you not know that this is Tony? I'm going to admit to everybody that because I had never heard because I had never heard that particular tone in Stugatz's voice, I immediately coughed up Mike Ryan. Like, I was so scared of Stugatz and the fact that Stugatz had gone deep, deep into his balls to yell, "How dare you do this to me?" that immediately and very meekly and weakly, I coughed up Mike Ryan. Like, without a hiccup, it was just like I spit. It was Mike Ryan. Listen to this.
"This is such a bad trick that you played on me, Levitard. How dare you do this to
Mike
me?"
Mike Ryan's idea.
Friends like this guy.
I mean, imagine this guy being grilled by police on something important about
"This is such a bad trick that you played on me, Levitard. How dare you do this to me?"
It was Mike Ryan's idea. Okay. I squeaked it out. I whimpered it right out of my anus.
"This is such a bad trick that you played on me, Levitard. How dare you do this to me?"
It was Mike Ryan's idea. I farted my confession.
"This is such a bad trick that you played on me, Levitard. How dare you do this to me?"
It was Mike Ryan's idea.
We're going to do the Stugatz thing where there's a million things on our medal stand. Because we have the Stugatz getting mad at Ken Arnold not being on the line. We have that sound to relive.
Before we break, want to bring on my good buddy Ken Arnold, Everglades Capital Management, the Hirsch Arnold team. Kenny, how you doing today? Kenny. Waiting for Ken, trying to hook him up here. Ken, you with us? We'll try again. You guys got him? We'll take a quick timeout. You guys figure it out. Goodbye.
Of course, there was that time that we had Ludacris on from Shaq's birthday party where Stugatz was drinking on the air and asked Ludacris straight up an indelicate question.
"How much does the watch cost, Ludacris? How much?"
I don't know. I got it for free. That's a good question.
That's an indelicate question, right? You don't ask a woman what she weighs and you don't ask a hip-hop star what his jewelry's worth, do you?
That's why he'd let me ask the question.
You really don't.
God, I hate that so much. I really do.
Yeah, you're slurring in that one. We have your Chuck Norris question. We had built up. It's really the first time we did one of these where we just promoted for a month straight Chuck Norris. After reading Chuck Norris facts for months on end, we finally had Chuck Norris on the air. And Dan, who was a little nervous too, tosses to Stugatz for the first question.
All right, we're going to see whether any of these here can crack Chuck Norris's top 10. Now, your favorite involves the Tyrannosaurus Rex. You want to do yours?
Yeah, that Chuck Norris was chasing the Tyrannosaurus Rex. The Rex was not chasing the Jeep.
Okay, in Jurassic Park. Way to screw that up. I kind of blindsided
him. I didn't know you were throwing
that's
it to
my
me there.
Fault. What it was? Way to deliver that one. Good to start that way.
Oh my God.
I was about to blame you for that, Dan, and then you at the end I realized you have to listen back to it. You did take ownership of it. You said it was my fault, your fault, and so I was going to blame you and said you choked in that moment because you've never thrown it to me for the first question of an interview, not any time before that, and not since.
I did. Okay? I did totally choke.
But you choked.
I threw you the basketball and got mad when you pooped on it.
Yes.
There was a time, this wasn't exactly live, but it was when Dan was recording liners. Guys, remember liners? Dan was recording a liner before, and the sound that came out of his body was a memorable one.
"I'm Dan Levitard of the Miami Herald.
And I'm Stugatz.
Who wants to bleep Ken Obergfell? Join us every day, 4 to 7, on the Dan Levitard Show on 790.
That is some of the... That might have been the original sound that we couldn't stop playing over and over again in terms of repetitive musical hits. The snort that came out of my laughing, convulsing body. The sound of stepping on a duck. Stugatz, one of the things that I wanted to talk to you about, because we've got some cool shit happening around here, and we will get to opening day because Billy and Chris do get excited about today, and Roy once hit a home run in Marlins Park. So we have guys here who are excited about welcoming in the baseball season because, as many of you know, 90s baseball is our wheelhouse. It's the only place this entire family connects. But this family is expanding now with some of the stuff that you hear and see happening with Metal Lark Media, where you see that we're forming alliances with Hank Azaria and Mike Schur, who did Parks and Rec and The Office and The Good Place. And Adam McKay is telling you on South Beach Sessions yesterday that we're going to hook up on things because this freedom that we got in jumping with you guys and our audience and everything else has become a real and valuable freedom where we get to screw around and do some cool things with cool people we never imagined we'd be able to work with like this.
I love that McKay said that. What do you think he means by that?
Yes, there you go. So thank you, Stugatz. And Brockmire, this Brockmire podcast is about to open, Stugatz, and it's going to be a cool thing because Hank Azaria is going to be doing the late night circuit and the Today Show, a Colbert, Seth Meyers, where he's selling Meadowlark Media, Levitard and Friends, where he's selling this character on the circuit and the things that we're doing. As you know, announcements are going to be coming out here in the next couple of weeks, just like they're coming out almost every day. Today, the money comes in. You see reports about what the investors are doing with what it is that we're building around here. And now the rocket ship will start to take off as some of these investments that we've been making for a few months with the audience, these partnerships, give us real freedom to build shit.
Please support the Jim Brockmire podcast. Episode 0 is out now. It's a very funny trailer. It's 2 minutes of your time, and subscribe to that feed because episode 1 drops on Wednesday. This is the most promotion we've ever had for one of our audio podcasts. This is a massive project. Jim Brockmire is a beloved television character. He could have gone anywhere, and he trusted us with this because we kind of did the two pilot episodes with Dan and Stugatz. I wish you guys could listen to those. If you do your digging, you can find the archive that has it. I had to purge it. But episode 1 with Charles Barkley is just really good throughout. When it's not hysterically funny, because it is often hysterically funny, there's really good stories that Charles Barkley just volunteers. It's insane.
Mike, before we talk a little more about that, because I am proud that that particular guy is working with us, Stugatz. That guy, voice actor for a generation and somebody whose comedic chops are high-end Hollywood, created a passion project in Brockmire and helps credit us for helping that character get some sustainability in these sports radio waters where he was basically the opposite of Ted Lasso. Dirty, dirty, awful Ted Lasso, this Brockmire character. And now what we're doing with him is we are expanding what is a Hank Azaria passion project that he wants to do. And Mike, I don't want to reveal too much, but it's sort of like Between Two Ferns, the Funny or Die sensibilities.
Yeah. Brockmire has a very obvious interview style. If you know anything about the character, it's not going to be all warm and cuddly.
And so it's going to be legitimate stars, though. Ben Stiller's going to be in there. We're going to get some people in there to be doing stuff that we believe mixes sports and Hollywood, and we need you to support that stuff because we're about to start growing out a network here with these Hollywood types that birth some partnerships.
Our army of listeners is the best, oftentimes the worst, but in terms of support, they come out in droves. Every podcast that we had on Levitard and Friends got a bump. I would love to see this one surge, and that's not just because I'm looking for my fifth number one podcast in my name.
Oh, come on. All right, so here's what we're doing. Well, but Mike is feeling himself today, Stugatz, because I don't know if you saw this. We're doing a little bit of just this navel gazing today, but I wanted to bring it up because the last 3 months have been hugely interesting. If you've been watching, one of the things that you must find interesting as a listener to this, in this shadowy space that we exist in right now with very little video other than on social media, is the specifics of these people who are now working with us, Stugatz, Adam McKay and Mike Schur and Hank Azaria and Jemele Hill. If you have been listening to the last 24 months that we have been doing around here in the shadows, building out the digital podcast to make sure that we had a valuable thing whenever it is that we left ESPN, you have noticed that these particular people, Stugatz, were helping us and supporting us because of the specifics of seeing what was happening to us, which is we were being shrunk at a time in America where this particular show shouldn't have been shrunk, as Stick to Sports somehow got stronger after that summer and this pandemic that we went to. Stick to Sports, you know, we were replaced at ESPN by Mike Greenberg all over the place. Stick to Sports. And those people that are supporting us now, Stugatz, they saw it. I didn't even have to explain it to them. Like, they just saw it, and so they rushed into the breach to make sure that we were legitimately supported. And now look at what it births. It will birth real freedom. And from that, Stugatz, Mike was geeking out yesterday because Jim Rome, And say what you want about Jim Rome, and Lord knows we've made fun of CBS and made fun of the fact that, you know, when he landed with the big contract at CBS, as a guy who made more in his prime than any athlete who was doing it at the time, bigger in syndication, bigger in profit than any athlete doing it, he comes out at CBS and he's on the billboards, and I think he was trying to look cool and hold a he was holding something that's
a looked, microphone that looked like a Glock.
Well, yeah, but it didn't look like a microphone or a gun to me. I thought it was a hair dryer, so that didn't land. That particular advertising didn't land with me. But Jim Rome reached out and say what you will, Stugatz, that guy on ESPN, younger than anybody, getting into that fight that he regrets with Jim Everett, where he called him Chris Everett again and again until he got a viral moment before viral moments. But Jim Rome was the original gangster in this space in terms of creating a community that is the only one in the history of sports radio to rival the one around this show, Stugatz. And he knows it because he reached out to Mike with, he knows how hard it is to create the stickiness of that particular loyalty in an audience, how intimate you have to be in this space in order to earn it.
Well, he responded to a tweet that I had. Some people actually thought Jim Rome had died because it was just apropos of nothing. I was watching old Jim Rome clips and old smack offs. And I remember I used to love when Jay Moore would sit in for Jim Rome. I loved the Jim Rome show.
I thought Jay Moore, I don't know if you guys remember this. You guys probably don't. I thought ESPN was going to break into the comedy market with Jay Moore. I thought he was as talented as anyone I'd ever seen with range between sports and comedy.
I liked
and
more
smart.
Sports.
But I that show that he did, how long did that show last? Not it was a late night a sports show. And
One season, yeah.
I thought, Stugatz, that Jay Moore was as talented as anyone who has ever done this, and all he needed was some guidance.
Jim Rome broke the mold in that when Jim Rome was out, you were almost excited to see who could they possibly get. They got these massive guest hosts, and they really broke the mold that way. It was the first sports radio show that I fell in love with. And the part that made me fall in love with it is every show you had to listen in because you felt like you were missing something, because the callers would call in and they would just try to top each other. And our show learned a lot from that, because that was the first sports radio show that really built and weaponized their audience. The jungle was a force. You wanted to be a part of the jungle. You wanted a jungle tour stop. You wanted in on that club because it was exclusive. I like to think that we're a modern day version of this. Even though Jim Rome is still doing his thing, I watch Jim Rome's show whenever I get a chance, whenever I'm camping out for soccer. I still watch it because for me, it's a nostalgia trip, and he's still a goat, man. I love following this dude on Instagram because, no shame, he's a, hey, I'm at La Quinta Zags. So God's learned his nicknames in part from Jim Rome, because Jim Rome would casually do that all the time, and it would make me laugh every time.
Yeah. So, Mike, are you telling everyone here that Jim Rome has reached out to you? Have you established a friendship with Jim Rome? Like, what? Seriously?
No. What it was mutual respect, because I didn't tag him. He retweeted my tweet and said, "Good luck on the pirate ship. You guys are doing a pretty good job of building out your own audience." And it was like a mutual respect thing. I'm like, why is Jim Rome doing this? I've met a lot of people in this industry. I kind of geeked out at the fact that Jim Rome retweeted and kind of acknowledged who we were.
Stugatz, this is what I'm telling you, though, is cool about what's happening around us and the specifics of it and the people who know how hard it is to exist inside these corporate machines. And so one last time, Mike, tell the people where it is and how it is to support Brockmeyer.
Show me your belly button while you say this to me, because we are absolutely navel-gazing at this point.
Oh, so much. We just went through the nostalgia.
Why are we feeling ourselves so much? Like, I don't have bandwidth. I don't have Wi-Fi that reaches out to a room right next door. This is a weird time for us to be feeling ourselves. We still don't have health insurance.
I just want to know when Romy's coming on Stupidity. I mean,
laying the groundwork to have a relationship there with Jim Rome. He doesn't do much outside of his property, so I'm hopeful.
Jim Rome on Brockmeyer would be pretty good.
I'm hopeful. I want to build that relationship out. Their producers are fans and admirers of our work. I obviously recognize Jim Rome as a sports radio talk show goat, so hopefully there's something there that we can do together.
This is some navel gazing, but if you want real navel gazing, more navel gazing, I'm going to go back even further in the nostalgia files, Stugatz, because we could sit here and be talking
Dan,
about...
I'm going to cut you off at the pass because I did some navel gazing when you were trying to get to the Jim Brockmeyer podcast promotion, so I'm going to squeeze it in there one more time. Search out the Jim Brockmeyer podcast on your platform of choice. It's everywhere. Trailer is out now. Episode 1 drops on Wednesday. Subscribe to that and get me another number one podcast, please.
There are a number of things, Stugatz, that we could be talking about. 22 years ago, Fabio was riding a roller coaster at Busch Gardens, and he got hit in the face with a goose. With a goose. That's a thing that happened, and his face was bleeding at the end of the ride. Feel free to enjoy that wherever it
it's
is.
It's been 22 years, huh?
Yes, wherever it is you do your internet shopping. That was the anniversary of that wonderful moment, one of the greatest moments in history. Again, Fabio on a roller coaster. Face bleeding, hair blowing in the wind, hit in the face at Busch Gardens by a goose. We are not going to talk about that. We are not going to talk about Justin Fields and Dan Orlovsky trending because Justin Fields all of a sudden has some character issues. And Mac Jones is climbing up the draft board, Stugatz. I don't know if you saw this. Landon Dickerson, a guy who, of course, wears number 69 for Atlanta and is one of these giant guys, was just doing cartwheels behind Mac Jones because these human beings, just these 300-pound human beings, are much stronger from that Alabama factory than they are anywhere else. And while I want to get to that, and I want to get to Anthony Edwards going after your Knicks and saying flatly that they were trying to get in the ball in the hands of RJ Barrett. They just that's simply what they wanted in that situation. Francisco Lindor, your Mets finally got him. I want to get to that as well. But the thing that I need to get to before all others is Michael Rapoport and Mike Ryan's feud with Michael Rapoport.
This is third rail. I don't want to do it anymore.
This is the third rail.
No. Rapoport is the most dangerous of games, Dan.
Not doing this. He's moved on to other beefs and other situations that I just want to stay out of. I'm a very small minnow in the Michael Rapoport beef pond, and I'd like to keep it that way.
Okay.
Me too, actually.
That is not the way that I thought that would go. You can check in with your historical internet guides. They will help you along this path. But Michael Rapoport, I will simply say, is now beefing with Kevin Durant, and Kevin Durant is letting it fly. And Michael Rapoport is taking an unholy beating, and Michael Rapoport's fame is something that has eluded me for a long time. But our show went back and forth a long time ago with Michael Rapoport, and evidently we don't want those hands anymore. Because I remember
he's super litigious. I don't want that problem. I see what happened with us, and I'm like, well, considering how litigious he is, probably lucky. I know he threatened me with a lawsuit because I didn't go full bore. I wasn't selling t-shirts. I wasn't plastering it across walls. But I will not regret for a second coming to Gonzo's defense because what he said about Gonzo, I wasn't with it. So it got carried away because machismo when I was younger.
Well, he threatened me with a lawsuit, and I'm not deleting my tweets. Forget that, guy.
None your business.
Okay. Wow.
None your business.
Stugatz here for my friends over at Simply Safe. Springtime is all about fresh air, fresh starts, and freshly cleaned homes, and it's the perfect time to give a fresh look at Simply Safe Home Security, the only home security system I use and recommend. I've had it in my home for many, many years. I love it. Springtime to me, we love to travel. And I love the fact that no matter where I am in the world, I can keep an eye on my home thanks to Simply Safe Home Security. Simply Safe blankets your whole home in protection. It has sensors to detect break-ins, fires, floods, and more, plus a variety of indoor and outdoor cameras to keep watch over your property day and night. It's backed by 24/7 professional monitoring for less than a dollar a day. Simply Safe has given me and many of my listeners real peace of mind. I want you to have it too. Get 20% off your system today when you sign up for Fast Protect monitoring at simplysafe.com/DLB. That's simplysafe.com/DLB. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.